Good afternoon, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse alongside Grant Bills and Paul Emig. And what a, you know, joyous weekend it has been for me as the DC Defenders are champions of the UFL. I know that the congratulations from you guys have been, I mean, texts and calls, and I saw someone pumping gas and they're like, oh, DC. And so it's been a whirlwind week. It really has. And, you know, as a longtime 4-year fan, it's really, I mean, we had the XFL went away, and then we didn't know. And this team's just been surviving, and now to win a title has just been really the reward of a lot of hard work.
We were starting to wonder if it was ever going to happen, you know, if not now, when?
Yeah, I was starting to think, you know, maybe this team is cursed. Maybe it's just not in the cards for the District of Columbia Defenders, but they got it done, and I'm very excited. So with that, is that where you want to start, Paul? Or
it was going to be. You kind of stole some of my thunder. By the way, I did forget why you started to be a DC Defenders fan until you recently reminded us via the Twitters. I forgot the backstory, so it all makes more sense now.
Well, they're one of my favorite teams. You know, I know I'm not physically there in DC, but you don't have to be somewhere to know what it's like to be inside of a place's sports talk landscape. I'm on, you know, The Score as a guest like once every 6 months, and I host 3 hours there a night. I should be the one doing interviews about Chicago radio. It makes
DC's adopted son, some are calling you.
They are. They really are. They're calling me 48, because it's like I've been there the whole time. So, yeah.
I was going to start with DC Defenders and specifically the MVP of the championship game, which was obviously went to
the MVP. I mean, that's the DC Defenders are a team. It's a team game. We don't need to get bogged down in individual awards.
No, we don't. Here's the one I want to start with. I'm going to get right into it. Full credit to your boy Nathan Marzion for this topic. These are the kind of topics that were like created for me to bring to the three of us. He says you can add any player from the finals to the Bucks besides SGA, Siakam, Jalen Williams, Halliburton, and Chet. So the best five guys in the series, I agree with. The five.
Nobody good, but pick from everyone else. Is that that part, didn't you? Did you add that part?
Which part? No.
Okay.
Can add any player from the finals to the Bucks besides the stars. And he writes in parentheses, SGA, Siakam, Jalen Williams, Halliburton, Chet. Who are you choosing? I would disagree with even just the premise of your initial response, Grant, which is like, there's a fuckload of great choices.
Well, yeah, but okay. Sure. Yeah. Like there are other solid options. It just, the topic loses a little luster when you take on all those guys, it's not your fault. This isn't on you, Paul. This is on Marzion.
Well,
this is still a good
topic. The answer would be SGA because he's, you know, one of the best players in the world.
Jalen Williams, finals MVP, some are saying.
I would. All right. So I'm going to give you some options in no particular order. I wrote down some names in no order, just jotted them down. Miles Turner, Lou Dort, Alex Caruso, Cason Wallace, Nembhard, Nesmith, Hartenstein, Aaron Wiggins, TJ McConnell, Obi Toppin, Ben Mathurin. These are like 12 really good players in the NBA. Wait, well, maybe it's not 12. How many did I just name?
So we're adding one to the current makeup of the Bucks team.
Current makeup of the Bucks team, you get them for free tomorrow. But you have to consider their age. You have to consider, you know, they're not just like, okay, like, you get them at their current state of talent and at their current state of age and all the fun things that go with it. So like for, if you say Caruso, you'd say, well, he's 31, but that's okay. Cause you know, so there's however you want to take the question, you can add any of these players, Miles Turner, Dort, Caruso, Cason Wallace, Nembhard, Nesmith, Hartenstein, Aaron Wiggins, TJ McConnell, Toppin, Mathurin. The one that you would add to the Bucks is Lou Dort.
I feel like Lou Dort is what we thought PJ Tucker was. Like he's a little smaller, but
with a somehow terrific 3-point shot.
Dort. Yeah,
those were some massive shots he hit.
Yeah,
well, he's been doing that this whole run.
while being built like PJ Tucker. I mean, similar linebacker, tight end bodies.
I would say I'm out on Hartenstein.
Yeah, he would not be one of my top three choices here.
Which is disappointing because he could like play, he could take over Brooks' role, but they don't, I don't know. They I feel like they should be playing him more.
The second that we replace Brook is the second that half of Bucks fandom says, well, we should play small anyways. And then it, they just want that person relegated to the bench, whoever it is. So I feel like I know what you mean.
They should not have re-signed Brook Lopez. That was a massive misstep.
Good take.
Agree and to disagree. That's fine.
And they had to pay a lot because the Rockets.
Brook Lopez is my Freddie Peralta.
Wow.
That's. Screw you. That's not even, that doesn't even make sense.
Then he's my Rashawn Gary.
Wow.
Okay. That's fine. That's okay. That's better.
But I loved him on the title team. It's just this version. That was, we got to remember too, that was 4 years ago.
Yeah. He's 37.
He was old the last time we did this. I did Lockdown Bucks with Justin last week, and he's like, the Brook Lopez. It's like the fact that we're talking about Brook Lopez is a piece that will be on the move with anyone interested, and he'll probably get good money, is incredible given we did this 4 years ago and he seemed old, or however long ago that was. You know what I mean?
I'm eliminating the other Thunder bench guys like Wallace and Wiggins, and you did not mention Isaiah Joe. Big shame.
I should have put him in there. I should have, but he hasn't been playing much.
Or Kenrick Williams, I don't believe you said either.
No Kenrick, and none of the other Jalen Williams either. I didn't include him either. I also did not include Shepard.
Yeah, I'm going to dip on Mathurin.
Same.
I would go Nesmith over Nemhard.
Is that a coin flip for just everybody's? I don't know.
I'm leaning towards Obi Toppin.
Ooh, to add to the Bucks of this group? Yeah. I really like Obi. I've liked Obi for a long time, but interesting.
Remember when LeBron shit on Obi Toppin because he said Dennis Smith Jr. should be on the Knicks instead? Do you guys remember that? I thought about that last night. No. I'll find it. I'll send it to the chat.
So yeah, I don't know. Obi off the. I mean, would he play? Would he start for us?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take 25 a night from him. Nesmith, Nemhard, like. I just feel like the league is full of these guys.
Are they just right situation, right team, right coach?
I don't know. It's just like these guards that you get a like. It's like, oh, Mathurin at 27 points, 22 minutes. He should start the next game. And then the next game, he doesn't do anything.
Well, he does less than nothing. He misses three free throws down the stretch. He was terrible. Turned the ball over twice.
I mean, are we sure we need to include Tyrese Haliburton on the stars portion of this list?
He did
quite possibly have the worst NBA Finals game of all time.
I know this calf strain is reported today.
Yeah.
I think the mistake there, and it's so hard to do this, and it's so easy to armchair say, so I acknowledge that. But Carlisle, I thought in the moment, I'm not just saying it revisionistly, should have stuck with McConnell, who was unbelievable in that third quarter, where I think McConnell had, 15 or 17 in the third. And then as soon as they went back to injured Tyrese, I mean, I'm sure that's going to be what keeps Carlisle up. It is.
I've got two thoughts on that. One is that in that position, like, there's a lot of, you know, the second guessing the next day. But in the moment, I'm like, there's just no possible way that you're not going to put him back out there. There's none.
There's a switch on the side of your phone. If you flip that, by the way, it'll stop making that noise when you get a text.
Sorry.
You'll never know, like...
I thought it was Bart. But, Paul, if it was you, you're on your phone. Bart looked down, and I'm like, God damn it. Sorry to interrupt you, Bart. How does it feel, by the way?
Well, I got an AP alert about the Appalachian Trail. Did you get the same thing?
Oh, no, not today.
Oh. Yep, stall for time. Camera 2.
You'll find.
Sorry.
What was I saying?
Something great.
Wow, it sucks being interrupted.
You can't go back to McConnell.
It really does. It sucks being interrupted.
McConnell, Haliburton, fourth quarter. You can't
armchair it.
McConnell also, he's one of those rides at front of the grocery store where you put a quarter in the horse and it goes for 7 minutes and then it's out. You got to recharge it. He's got the mindset like, I'm just going to be a fucking Tasmanian devil for 15 sure. minutes.
Sure.
So if he's not, you know, prepared for that, and, you know, maybe it would have gone better. I don't think that they win, even though they did get within 2 points, and it was getting this is the last show I'll ever do. If they win this game, this is the last show I will ever do. I've done this show too many times. I can't do it again. I can't do it again. And Carlos is like, well, I'll dump you if you swear. And I said, that's all I'm going to say is just fuck for 30 seconds because he can dump three times for 30 seconds. And he goes, well, then I'll take you off the air. And then I go, well, then I ain't coming back on because I can't do this again.
It's the radio version of a DNR on your wrist. It's like, yeah. Do not bring me back. Like
so that. If they win the Pacers come back to win the finals now, I'm off Thursday, which it won't matter. But then it's Sunday. So at least I'll have a day where I don't have to witness it live.
Mm.
That's what's been the hardest part of all this, is that every time Halliburton's done this, I'm on the air.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I mean, Halliburton was minus 13. McConnell was plus 4.
Yeah, well, that's why at 1.2 last night, I had to go, okay, I just got to get, just so nobody can come back on this. I don't like the Pacers. I think they're this. I think that I have to say all this to say none of that matters when I tell you Halliburton's performance was like the worst in a finals all time. It's not coming from that place. This is a rational take that you'll think is skewed, but it was truly awful.
Yeah. Truly, I mean, bad. 34 minutes, 0-for-6, with 3 turnovers, a minus 13.
Some of his misses should have counted for more than one miss because they were that bad. Like hitting the backboard next to the rim, airballing. Like even his misses that he had, they look like shit.
If they go back home and lose, what's more remembered? His 4 game winners or his 4 points in game 5?
Think about it. His four game winners will be remembered more.
Yeah, maybe not.
On your original prompt, Paul, I thought that was great. I have nothing to add on the TJ McConnell front. I think the correct answer for this Bucks team is Benedict Mathurin.
What?
Because he is a guy with some actual runway. Like, I think he's going to get better. Nesmith and Nembhard are great, but I think they kind of are what they are. And this Bucks team is not a Nesmith away. In 2022, you put this version of Nesmith in Grayson Allen's spot. Like, okay. Hey, we are cooking with propane. Okay. Right now, it's like, so they would be better with Nesmith. But then again, maybe this is the Horst fallacy. He was like, if I just keep swinging for home runs, eventually I'm going to hit one. Meanwhile, he's passing up doubles and singles. Well, I'm doing the same thing. Those are also draft picks. Like, that's a little different. If I could take any player, like, I think the correct answer should be Mathurin.
But if you're going to...
Something better than a 3-and-D guy to win a title with this current roster, is my point.
Yeah, I'll say a couple things to that. One is, as you probably heard this week, Nembhard was supposed to be a Buck.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And our boy Marjan Beauchamp was a Buck instead.
That guy sucked ass. I'm glad he's gone. I wanted Rashad Vaughn to be good. There were guys who I would stick on the ride with. I could not wait to get off the Marjan Beauchamp ride.
So here's my other pushback to Mathurin. He gave a 27 point performance in the NBA finals. Like, and then granted, he totally 1000% shit the bed in the game that followed and perhaps cost them that game. But it's a unique skill. Now, Nesmith in the conference finals had, 6 fourth quarter threes, Grant? To your point about, like, you know, Nesmith is a 3-and-D player.
He's a badass, man. Like, I just...
You say Nesmith? You like him?
I think Nembhard is too, but Nesmith, that dude, like, physically just steps up a level in the closing few minutes.
Well, don't forget, too, like, we were talking about, like, these Bucks draft picks and everything else. Nesmith was a Celtics bust.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for all of these players that, I mean, the Celtics who have hit a lot through the draft, Nesmith was a
bust. Are we just assuming that the Thunder have won the finals?
Yes.
Because against the, I mean, are we not going to learn a lesson here?
Don't you love it? The second quarter, the Thunder were up 13 and everyone's like, the NBA may need to change the rules. Otherwise, I don't see how the Thunder don't win the next five titles. It's like, we did this last, like, why do you people do this? But we're right back to that place, Bart. You're correct.
Yeah, I scolded someone for that the other day.
So the thing I'll say, like, Grant, too, on top of the Mathurin choice and these other options on the table, is if you want to go with, like, the bigger swing, then I would go Cason Wallace.
I don't know anything about that guy, so you might be right.
I mean, just young, affordable, good enough to start for an NBA Finals team. Maybe he shouldn't have started, but nevertheless, he's still a key contributor. So I would have gone. So Bart, what is your answer? Mine is Dort. So to my topic for yes, Dort. Grant went Mathurin. Bart, you go top.
How old's Obi Toppin?
20. I want to say 28, 29.
Doris Burke said he might just be the best athlete on the floor last
27. Time. The reason I lean towards him is I don't think he's had a dud game yet.
He's a spark plug. Like, he is a ball of energy.
Like, you think, okay, who's going to step up? McConnell, Toppin. And I feel like Toppin's always been there. He's with all these guys making their threes, like, when they miss him, he's there to put it back and demoralize you even further. So I don't know that that's the right answer, but that's the answer I'm going to give you at this time.
You guys went both with Pacers, which is interesting. I mean, I would have probably...
Well, they're just a good old-fashioned American ball club.
Yeah.
So, Grant, would you also... like, if this was a one-year thing, 1 year.
You don't understand. Indiana is the heart of basketball.
It means more there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the Fever.
That's big, too. If this was a 1 year thing, if this was a 1 year, you don't get the player forever, you get him for 1 year.
Sure.
Does Caruso become your pick?
I think I still might like Nesmith more. I don't know. Caruso is great as an idea, but God, like, sometimes I'm like, he's still out there and he makes nice plays, but like, you reach a point of diminishing returns really fast with that guy, it would seem to me. But he would also be a great, to answer very clearly, my answer would not be Benedict Mathurin if I'm only getting one for 1 year. And my answer might not even be Benedict Mathurin in general. I'm just saying I want someone with more runway for this Bucks team than Nembhard or Nesmith. For 3 years ago, for that Bucks team, when they were a lot closer, I would love one of those guys.
You'd go higher ceiling.
Yeah.
Bigger wild card. Okay. Yeah. By the way, none of us mentioned, which again is fine, but like Miles Turner would be like a 7 years younger version of Brook Lopez. They are very similar players defensively, offensively. He's obviously been outplayed on his own team by Toppin. Miles Turner has in this finals. So I would not choose Miles Turner, but he is similar stylistically with Brook and would place him. All right. You guys said, by the way, the top comment, and I clipped this to share it with you. Did you see it?
Yeah, what an a-hole. I forgot to mention this. What an a-hole. Go ahead.
The top response, as I clipped this, was from your boy Bukowski, who said, Carlisle.
Can't put Peter in a box.
How can I outsmart this very simple, fun question?
When you brought this up, I'm like, oh, I need to poke fun at Bukowski, and I forgot to in my answer. So thank you for.
You're welcome. If I was to add to this Marzian tweet, you can add any player from the finals to the Bucks besides the following five.
That's so funny.
Or you can choose no one from the Thunder.
Okay.
Or the Pacers, but you can have Spo.
Oh, Spo, yeah.
Then it's easy because it's Spo. No, I'm just kidding.
Would you take, if Carlisle was an option, would that change your answer? Or you'd still take the player?
Okay. Yeah. I would love to have a different head coach of the Bucks, but you know what's really unfortunate is, did you guys listen to Doc Rivers with Bill Simmons?
I'm not listening to that. I listened to the clip. There's no chance. Shit, I'm listening to Doc Rivers with Bill Simmons for.
I actually think he's a fantastic basketball analyst and a mediocre NBA head coach, but a really good analyst.
I don't like the celebrity guest. I don't like the guy who's currently playing or currently coaching. Give me Zach Lowe or somebody. Not for me.
Agree, but he had just done Lowe and he had just had Brasillo. And like, my point is, like, even before he was the Bucks coach and there was that interim period, I was like, oh, Doc Rivers is an analyst. I enjoy this. This is before he became the Bucks coach, even. Side Bucks question. I'm going to ask it like this. there's a new free agent on the market, a former MVP of the league, former MVP free agent on the market named Russell Westbrook.
You say Derrick Rose.
Russell Westbrook to the Bucks. Mm-mm or fuck no.
Well, it's not game. Fuck. It's not fuck no. But what would that be trying to accomplish?
I mean, it'd be the same thing that the Nuggets tried to accomplish. This is a minimum player. He's a minimum salary player at this point in his career who, you know, I don't
bringing
know.
Russell Westbrook to the Bucks right now would be like me trying to mow my lawn with my snowblower.
Say more.
It's just
that's good.
What's the point? Wrong place, wrong time.
I think I tend to agree. Win a regular season game or two, but I don't think big picture it changes your fortune. Pass.
I mean, it'd be sweet.
Grant, by the way, I did the button and it still did this on the computer. I don't know why.
I don't have a problem. You're on your phone, but I thought it was Bart. And I'm like, Bart, just silence it, you dick. Like, you're not even using it, but it's you. Never mind. It's
my next question. There was the article that Grant passed along today in our group chat. If, in fact, Aaron Rodgers is not technically legally married, this should be Bart Winkler's greatest victory lap in the history of him on the radio. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm. Grant, I will tell you for context.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
What? You missed our... Oh, you were sleeping. Makes sense.
That's
well,
true.
Yeah, and then I got Grant's text, and it said, tap to load preview.
Oh. You didn't just... Yeah.
So now I'm seeing the articles. Family and friends are unconvinced he's really married.
Well, there's no evidence legally. Like, there's no marriage license anywhere.
Yeah, if you read the article, like, they checked in Vegas. They checked in the Pennsylvania areas. Let me just say this part before you answer.
When Simmons has this taken 2 weeks.
Grant, what I, you know, when I scam the podcast list in the morning and I'll see what Bart talked about the day before based on like the little clips, based on the little description is what I'm trying to say. Whatever it was last week, it was like, is Rodgers married? And it was like, so I am listening to this now. Yeah. And not only did Bart take a take that I'm sure no one else has had publicly, like, listen, I'm just here to tell you he's not married. I know what you're probably thinking. Some of you don't care. Some of you are just rolling your eyes, but like, he's not married and
not married.
And he did not confirm he's married. I know you all think he thought he confirmed that you heard him confirm that he's married. I know him better. He didn't confirm shit. He confirmed that's he right. has a ring on. He confirmed that it happened a couple months ago. He didn't say I'm married. You need to be more careful when you listen to this man talk. And then, Grant, I listened to the last little section of the show at 1 in the morning as he's exiting, and Bart said, if there's one thing I can leave you with today, one thing out of his whole 4 hours that I want you to walk away with, it's that Aaron Rodgers is not married. And that's where I want to end the show tonight. Just you got to take my word for it. He's not married. So I'll resurface to the top then and say, if, in fact, Aaron Rodgers is not married, as today's national article is suggesting and quoting family and friends about, this should be the biggest victory lap in Bart Winkler radio show history. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
Well, I think Milwaukee Station's not wanting to touch me and me getting a national show was a pretty good achievement. But yeah. Or the Bucks down 0-2, guys.
It's a big one. But this, honestly, as I was listening to you say it on the national show, I was like, loving it because it was, but also like, wow, like you really stuck your neck out for us. Again, I'm sure half the people listening were like, what is this guy's deal? Like, it was,
you're not going to see that on any other show. No. Not any other host anywhere is going to even like a kind of guy like Cowherd might, but he's not going to go there.
And not to the extent that you did, and not like bring up the historical context that says, when he says folks, he means this. When he says, you know, you went through the list.
Well, the bigger part, I haven't been wrong about Rodgers in a very long time. And I don't think any of us have. We are the Rodgers brain trust.
Yeah.
If people want to know what's going on, they just need to listen to this podcast.
I do have to follow a couple of Steelers people just to see them chase the tail of the dog. I just want to watch him figure this whole thing out.
then they should have done that with New York, because then New York had got to play on a national scale. I really think he was going to be bad that first year. That they he took that away from us. And then he was just like statistically good, but actually eyeball test bad last year, which was a shame.
However, I leave the door open a little because he was coming off an Achilles. So like he people say, I heard Nick Wright say this last week. It's like, well, actually you could make the case that he just played better when the game stopped mattering, which could be true. But also like it's reasonable to think that it would take him a third or half of a season to come back from an Achilles injury, especially at that age. So I leave the door cracked open a little.
You know, some guys, they'll get like a bump when they become a new dad or when they become married. Does Rodgers get that bump? If he isn't married, but in his head believes he's married,
mind over matter.
It's like when you have pain, you're supposed to like pretend you don't have pain, and then the pain will subside or go away, because it's all in your brain.
So a placebo type effect.
Performance placebo. This is the placebo marriage effect.
Yeah, if you think you're married, if you wear a ring and just say I'm married. And that's my wife.
Careful now. He didn't say shit. He didn't say wife. He didn't say married.
When I lied about having a wife at the Super Bowl in multiple conversations, I did get a bump. Yeah, I told you about this, though.
Yeah, you did.
Right? To circle back to that. Like, I did, like, oh, look at me. I'm.
What I didn't know is that it gave you a bump. Like, you're like, oh shit. I'm.
Not. I don't know. It definitely, like, if it should. Like, it should feel a certain way, you know.
I want you guys to keep talking about this. I look forward to listening to it on podcast.
Well, I don't think we're going to talk that long, Paul.
Do a little
what
bit
are we
more.
Talk about?
Say more about Rodgers.
Leave us with a question or something.
Yeah.
I want more on this. I think this is fascinating.
We are not here to serve you.
Yes, you are. This is completely for me, 100%. How about some Mizorowski talk would be great.
And why
the Brewers should be careful using the Miz, which is presumably trademarked by the Miz, Mike Mizanin.
I don't think anyone gives a shit, Paul.
I care. Like I said, do it for me. All right. See you guys. Bye.
But bye, I mean, Paul. Like,
the Miz. I don't think the Miz gives a shit.
I direct messaged the Miz about it, and he's pissed. All right. I did not. Bye.
Paul Emig, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Emig. We can talk a few minutes of Brewers here after this message from Happy Place Hemp, where the promo code is BART, 25% off each and every order at happyplacehemp.com. You know, I've been looking for reasons more than ever to take anything that will get me anywhere else other than where I physically stand. And that has been a good product for me. The Delta 8s and 9s. The anxiety pills I take have really bad side effects. Like, I get weirdly tired. And also, eater.
What does that mean? Certain functions are limited? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it fucks me up.
Great. I needed to know that.
It sucks. But the Delta 8s and 9s do not do that, is what I'm saying.
They might be enhancers, if anything.
I would say so. Also, try the seltzers, different milligrams, different flavors, and you can get everything for 25% off each and every order with the promo code BART. You can check them out in Muskego, or you can visit them happyplacehemp.com. Brewers had an interesting little week there with Aaron Civale, who there was one night that I was doing the show. And it was the second hour of the show, and I led with Savali. And Carlos was like, is this like a big deal for you guys? And I go, I don't know. I'll spin it in a way where it's like, guy got traded on his birthday, quickest trade request ever, gets dumped to the White Sox. And then I just went through the White Sox drafts for 7 years and all the missteps that they had. So even when I have like a Brewer topic, I got to make sure that it's, you know, something other than Milwaukee sports or I'm going to be, you know, I got to play it up to the big market. But I don't know. I feel like where this Brewer team is, it's probably better than we thought, but also I just, it's the same I felt last year. Is they're better than I thought, but then what are they going to do with that? Like, at what point do I ever truly believe again that the Brewers are going to win? And again, I'm not upset with what they're doing. Could they always spend more money? We think so. But do they at least convince me that they're competitive in this summer of fun and entertainment?
And passion.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying to win with a hand behind their back, but they're still trying to win. I don't know when I ever get to that point again. And even with last year with the Alonso home run, and we've talked about that, I wasn't devastated that they lost a chance at the World Series. I was just bummed that they weren't going to win a playoff series. Like, for me to have lowered my expectations that much, is that just me protecting my feelings, or is that just how baseball is? Because then you look at a team like the Giants who go out and just fucking get Rafael Devers.
Yeah. You're pulling your hair out over that one. That to me is, both sides are losers in that. The Red Sox signed a shitty deal because they felt they had to after getting rid of Mookie Betts. And then they traded him away just for the purposes of someone taking all the money. And the only reason the Giants did it is because they're dying for a free agent to come there and no one will. So they're like, okay, well, we'll just force
Willie.
Him to come here.
Willie in his 187 or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, he's not playing very well. But they're like, no one will take our money. We'll just trade for him and we'll just act like it was a free agent signing, which would be a massive, you know, success. So I didn't look at that and be like, how are the Brewers ever gonna, you know, do the thing? But I feel you. This is the Brewers' weakest team, I think, since 2016, excluding the pandemic. If you want to include the pandemic, like, I think this is the weakest team the Brewers have had since before the 2017 Manny Pena year, where they came within a year of the playoffs, and still their pitching is really good.
Like, who was the guy they started in that playoff game?
The
Ryan
pitcher?
Healy or something?
Oh, Ryan Healy, who's batting cleanup. Yeah. So, like, that team, but who cares about the pandemic? This is probably their weakest team of this era. And still, their rotation is great and deep. Their bullpen is outstanding. Yelich and Churio, when healthy, have been good. Contreras got a broken finger, but, like, still, even with their weakest team since this whole thing has kind of started back in 2017, like, they're still not bad. And I know that's not what you're getting at, but I do think you need to tip your cap a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to say a phrase that I've hated forever. And that's just get me to Packer season.
Wow.
Well, it's just, I was saying this the other day. When the baseball team is interesting, life is more interesting. Like, when you're out and about, you see someone, oh, it's a little small talk. Or maybe we should go to a game comes up more when they're good than when they're bad. Or is the game on TV? Or you can have a friend over and, you know, sometimes you have buddies over and you're like, all right, well, you're here and we're sitting, but I don't really want to, like, visit. So it'd be nice if there was a game on. And when it's the Brewers and they're competitive, that's nice, right? Better than if they suck. You try to have a friend over and there's nothing on TV. I mean, you might as well just go to bed.
Yeah. Or watch the U.S. Open, which is what we did this last weekend.
I turned it on. It was Tiger. I was like, what did I miss? Tiger, geez. Rain delay.
I saw all the tweets where it's like, this is great. Like, people enjoyed that more than the actual golf, the Tiger highlights and reliving that.
I wasn't really able to come down on a decision with Devers. Like, I think his behavior. Because the overarching thing, I think a part of that story was he was kind of being told three different things from five different people.
He was, yeah.
And so that would be frustrating, but I get baseball positions are more wildly different than we think. Even like left field to right field is they're different. And
we think first base is so easy, everybody can do it.
And I never played it in kickball. It's scary. I hate it. Oh, I hate first base. Because that's the exact same thing. But third base, and then to not be in the field is weird, because then you're just like, what do you do all day? You just hit four times? That's weird. And then go back to first base where you're not comfortable. But while he could have like said, no, I can't just do that. There could have been a behind the scenes, like, all right, well, let's work him at first base. And I do feel like you have to. Then he get mad that someone else volunteered to play first base, and he's like, "You're making me look stupid." So I get that it's hard, and it'd be frustrating, and I don't think the money plays, like, it's not factoring my decision how much he makes. I just don't know that. I do think you got to take one for the team sometimes.
Well, when you have a 10-year, $300 million contract, like, that's the time that you should be able to. Sure, you want me to do this? You want me to do that? I think the Red Sox are ripe with dysfunction from top to bottom. Like, they never told him that they were going after Bregman. And then Cora had no interest in ever, like, dealing with this problem. Like, it was like, I don't know, he was like a middle manager when the employee and the president of the company were going at it. And he's like, I don't want to, like, he just had no interest in doing his job, really, as the on-field manager. So Devers isn't without blame, but neither are the Red Sox, which isn't surprising, because when you have a player on a contract like this dealt, like, it's not just on one person. It can't be.
I mean, the way that they were feeling as an organization 10 years ago to now.
Insane.
Like, they were top of the world, and now they're poverty.
A little bit. And the funny thing is, they just swept the Yankees. The timing of it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's the best their fan base had felt all year.
Then he hit a home run, and then he's like, this is great. And then they got on a plane, and they're like, yeah, actually, you take a cab. You're going to the airport again, and we don't want to see you. And they play this weekend. Giants and Red Sox play this weekend. How about that?
Another thing that people are wondering, it's like they dealt him right before they go on this 10-day West Coast road trip, so they don't have to deal with angry fans at the ballpark like the next night. Like, this is the baseball timing version of a Friday news dump.
Yeah.
Angle. This is a good topic. A national radio topic. The Devers deal is, you know, to mix in with the NBA finals and the Stanley Cup finals talk. It's a nice juicy little thing for you. I'm jealous.
Well, and I'll leave with this, but the thing I'm going to probably talk about tonight is I really don't know what Adam Silver can do. But in terms of covering the NBA, and I hate being guy who's like, all right, on tonight's show, I'm going to tell you what they said on Get Up. And then I'm going to tell you what they said on McAfee. And then I'm going to react what they said. I don't want to be that.
Yeah. You don't just want to be another brick in the wall, another cog in the machine, so to speak.
But they're like, you know, sometimes it is like they are. I think that Stephen A. Smith is a big problem for Adam Silver in trying to cover this league. I think him playing solitaire at the NBA finals.
The funny thing is, if Barkley or Shaq would have been caught doing that, it'd be funny. And Barkley and Shaq shit on the product and the teams and the players probably more than Stephen A.
Which is a problem.
But why is it not? It is, but not really. Like, I don't think people look at it like everyone. Look up ESPN right now on Twitter. It's just people screaming and pissing and moaning about the halftime show and the coverage. And
well, but even like today, Tuesday, they're talking about how I've talked to law enforcement in Memphis. Players don't want to play here. What are we talking about? Because what you're doing, one of the reasons that these finals are getting low ratings is not because of the cities that they're in. We have a league that shows you can have small market teams that people will watch. The problem is the NBA has conditioned their fans. You only need to care about these teams and you only need to care about these players. And we'll do the rest. And the transactions are more exciting than the actual games. So yes. Now they get into this game where they have two teams that they've built up very little. And I would understand thinking the Pacers are a fluke to not build them up. No issues there. But then the Thunder, you knew the Thunder eventually were going to be this. Yeah. We've seen this for years.
Shea's the MVP.
Neither of these teams played on Christmas. Ironically enough, they played each other December 26th, which I find interesting. So that's, you could have got this matchup on Christmas. But now what you're doing is you're taking a team in Memphis who we don't know what they're, you know, they made their trade. We don't know what's going to happen. But now you're burying them. While you're burying them, you're not building up the other two teams that are in the finals. And now you're getting to a game six, clinching, and maybe we get a game seven. Best two words in sports, my brother. But it's just not even like the problem is if podcasts shit on somebody or whatever shits on somebody, or what are you going to do? It's open for interpretation. But this is your league partner. Your league partner. So at some point, does Adam Silver have any ground to be like, don't do this, man? But he really doesn't. So he just kind of fucked.
Wouldn't stop David Stern. He'd find a way. You know what I mean? Like, they would have found a way to work this out. What I don't get, like, I'm just going to mute the halftime show, or I'm going to go on a walk. That's when I like going on a nice evening walk. There's a walking path that goes right by our building. Like, I'm just not going to watch. Some of you people just tweet constantly. We have to do better than this. This can't be the best possible halftime show. Who gives a shoot? Who gives a poop? Just mute it. Whatever. Legler's really good. I liked him after the game last night. What I don't get about Stephen A. Smith is, like, is he happy? Does he feel joy? He seems miserable all the time. Like, he used to, when he was opposite Skip Bayless, like, he kind of realized that his job is a little ridiculous and that at the end of the day, it is just sports. And we're debating and, like, I want to win and, like, I want to be right and I feel like I'm right. But, like, now he just seems miserable all the time.
So does McAfee.
Yes, he too. Everyone's like, if someone pokes fun, Stephen A was playing solitaire, like, instead said, yeah, you got me. Remember, this is my job. Like, people could have laughed it off, but instead he's like, I cover this many games. I'm on this many. It's like,
I'm going to be here a long time.
It's like, oh, Jesus. Like, you understand, but you have a fun job.
It's 4 hours a day of people that don't like their job.
And when I saw him playing solitaire, my first thought was, well, remember, folks, he is working technically. You know what I mean? Like, you check your phone during work. But, like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. More so,
I don't think checking your phone is a big deal. I think the fact that it's solitaire.
Who plays solitaire?
Do you know how bad of an addiction you have to have to solitaire to bust out? Solitaire.
Yeah.
As a guy with multiple addictions. Including one time solitaire.
Yeah. For money or just?
I would play these apps, but there was one time I just had a free thing on my phone where I would, like, had to win 5 games before I went to bed or I would die.
Interesting.
Yeah, I got a lot of that going on. It's kind of a problem.
I just don't understand. He's so angry all the time, and it doesn't make for, like, a good watch. Like, Barkley and Shaq will rip people and rip things, but they're having fun. Like, it's not life or death. It's just basketball. Stephen A. is like, I haven't even seen the dude smile for like 10 years, it feels like.
Not even when he gets that walk into the arena.
No, he's got it. I'm Stephen A. I'm the balls. Why would I? I'm locked in. It's like, would you chill out? I don't know.
I got some fucking decks to stack in my solitaire game. Get out of my fucking way.
Is a little weird.
All right. Well, Paul, I hope that was enough for you.
Thanks for listening, Paul. His topics were good.
Paul, we really appreciate your time and friendship. We're sorry you couldn't stay here a little longer today, but you can text us anytime.
Bukowski, Carlisle. What? And he's one of one. If he ever hangs up the cape and stops podcasting and tweeting, I will be sad and the world will be worse off for it.
It will be noticeable. The world will miss him.
Oh yeah,
I agree.
He will be missed.
Thank you all for stopping into the Winklerverse.